It's just a fact of how our brains work that the things we learn can drift away from us over time, so a little brushing up is often required. So it's not unusual that people returning to education would need some remedial classes to go back and refresh the subjects in which they need some help. But recent numbers show about half of students attending community college in Oregon need remedial classes, which seems high to a few people. Let's explore what's going on here. We have three guests in the studio. Kirk Gibson is the Vice President of Instruction at Rogue Community College with campuses in Medford, Grants Pass, and White City. Welcome, Kirk.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Scott Beveridge is the Director of Technology, Media, and School Improvement for the Southern Oregon ESD, our Education Service District. Hi, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian Shoemate is with us as well, the superintendent at the Medford School District. Brian, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with you, Kirk, because the knowledge really starts on community college campuses like RCC's. Give us an idea of the overall picture you're finding with remedial education and the need for it.
Well, you mentioned the statistic, and we find that to be pretty true. About two-thirds of the students that enter community college require some form of remedial education. Remedial in our language simply means students take credit or college courses that are below 100 in our numbering sequence. They're there to help students brush up on skills. They're there to help students remember the package that they got in our K-12 partner land and have since forgotten or let slip through disuse. Or sometimes we take in students that have simply been out of education for an enormous amount of time and need to reconnect with how homework works, reconnect with the skill set, and just reconnect with education in general.
What is the mix of members of the student body at RCC in terms of people who have been in education continuously versus people who are returning to education after a gap?
Sure. About a third of our students come in directly from high school, and about two-thirds of our students are returning from either the workforce or break in education.
So the numbers are pretty similar then. You got two-thirds who are coming in from a break and also two-thirds needing remedial. They're not the same two-thirds, I think I understand here.
Correct. They're not the same two-thirds.
All right. So is this a surprise to either of you, Scott Beveridge or Brian Shoemate? Scott Beveridge?
Well, you know, the Oregon State Board of Education has noted that the basic structure of the high school diploma historically was designed in a very different era. So the 21st century economy demands much higher levels of preparation for college and career readiness.
All right, Brian Shoemate, your take on what the numbers are in remedial education at RCC?
Yeah, I don't. First, the problem that exists here is not unlike what's going on around the rest of the country, with especially in the community college world, where many high school graduates are not ready really for college level work, and the new push nationwide is to prepare kids to be college and career ready. And we have a lot of work to do, as Scott referenced, internally with structures and schedules and up to graduation requirements and making sure that our kids leave us really ready to do college-level work.
So we need to understand, though, this is not then just an RCC issue. This is something that is pretty common at community colleges all across the country, Kirk?
Yes. It, particularly across the state, our numbers are remarkably similar to there are 16 other community colleges in Oregon. And I think it's important to remember that the community college mission is about taking people where they are and getting them to where they want to be. So we don't have an admission requirement. And we aren't all students for everything. So I think it's important to remember that the students coming out of high school, we get a slice of those. We don't get all of them. So keep in mind, as we think about remedial education in the community college, that we're a slice of the pie. We are not the entire pie. And I think that's an important topic to remember. It's not about students overall not doing well. It's about the students that come to us that are struggling when they enter. But again, that's central to our mission. That's who we keep our doors open for. I like to think of us as one of the last great all-comer games. And if you want to play, you're in. And we will find a spot for you to help you get to that goal that you're looking to reach.
So no barriers to admission. So we're going to have to deal with you where you are in your educational spectrum.
We get to. We don't have to.
Okay. Well said. So what kind? And is there one subject that rises above all others in the need area?
I think math stands out pretty much across the state and certainly our experience. It's a skill. It's something that you have to practice. It's it's one of those subjects that's still okay not to like. And I think I think people, if you use it enough, it stays with you. And if you don't, you kind of lose it. So the longer the break, the more likely we seem to see you needing to brush up on some of those math skills after you've left your last place of education.
That's an interesting phrase. It's still a subject that it's okay not to like. Brian Shoemate, as a superintendent of a K-12 school district, how do you deal with that?
Well, I'm also a former high school math teacher. Uh-huh. So, you know, I have a unique perspective, and I have two young adult children who one's in medical school and one's a senior in college. So we just lived the high school experience. Also, a former high school principle. And one thing I'm a big believer in, and it goes hand-in-hand with the conversation here, is that students, math is sometimes not a skill they practice every day, at least at high levels, with you know, algebraic thinking and those kind of things that are tested when the kid goes into college. But in a lot of cases, excuse me, students don't take math their senior year. 3 credits of math is pretty common nationwide to graduate as far as the graduation requirements, and that's what the requirements are here in Oregon and in Medford.
Which 3 years of math then?
Three, 3 years typically up through the junior year. Typically terminates with Algebra 2, and a lot of students choose not to take math their senior year because they feel like they've already gotten those credits taken care of. Therefore, in the best case scenario, they have a 15-month gap before they sit down and take a math test again. And it's essentially a skill, and it's like anything else. And I use the analogy: if you were a great athlete that got a scholarship your junior year in high school, and you decided not to play your sport senior year, and you showed up on the college campus your freshman year of college, you would be behind skill wise, just for not participating and not exercising those muscles, brain cells, whatever skill sets that it really takes to do well on college entry math tests. So I'm a big proponent, and was in my former district, of students being required to take math their senior year. And I want to head down that road with our board and with our principals and have that conversation with the Medford community eventually about at least adding a 4th credit of math or science into our graduation requirements so that we try to ensure more kids are taking math their senior year.
Have you brought that subject up yet with the school board, the community?
Yeah, just in casual conversation at this point. You may know I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and we did pass a requirement in Jefferson County Public Schools, which is Louisville, a district of over 100,000 students, very diverse, and high rates of poverty, but we made kids take math their senior year across the board. And we also mandated, the state of Kentucky did, that every kid take the ACT before they graduated. So, you know, we try to, you know, increase the expectations for doing higher level work your senior year. I want to have that conversation here in Medford as well.
We are talking about education on the Jefferson Exchange, specifically remedial education often required for community college students. We have a pretty good brain trust here in the room with us. You just heard Brian Shoemate, superintendent of the Medford School District. You've heard a lot from Kirk Gibson, the vice president of instruction at Rogue Community College. And Scott Beveridge is here as well, director of technology, media, and school improvement at the Southern Oregon Education Service District. You can join this discussion on the Exchange. Feel free to jump in with your thoughts on approaches to education, specifically on that bridge between high school and community college. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. Maybe you had a community college experience of your own you can relate to us. You can send emails as well to jx@jeffnet.org. Check out our Facebook page, and you can see a picture of Kirk, Scott, and Brian from just a few moments ago. So, Scott, I want to come to you now, because you had mentioned right off the bat that this is a high school educational system designed for a different time. How far back are we talking here that we're still holding on to?
Well, the graduation requirements were changed in 2007. There was significant reform in 2010 with the adoption of the Common Core State Standards, a more rigorous standard that we hold students to for mathematics and English language arts. And then there's education reform in 2011 and 12. That's significantly changed the goals for students, and that goal is now called 40-40-20, 40% of students to receive 4-year degrees after high school graduation, 40% of students to go on to a 2-year degree or career certification, and 20% of students to get a high school diploma and be career ready.
But obviously the 40-40-20 total 100%, the idea being that 100% of Oregon students do graduate from high school. Does that come with any shades or colors, graduate from high school on time with their class or just graduate from high school?
Well, there's several metrics that we're using, and it's really a prenatal to 20th grade of education, and so we want to see that students are ready for kindergarten when they enter, that they're reading by grade level at 3rd grade, that they're on track at 9th grade, and that they have some college credit before they graduate high school.
And for the folks who might not be familiar with the daily workings of an education service district, how do you work in the process of keeping all those parts connected?
Well, we support school districts in the area of Jackson, Josephine, and Klamath County and other areas with their school improvement efforts.
And what kinds of ways?
We help them with professional development and with systems for improving attendance and providing smooth transition from high school to college.
Speaking of attendance in particular, it's like the old Woody Allen line. I think it was his anyway, but 90% of life is just showing up. I mean, does that really make a huge difference in your academic performance if you're just there every day?
Seat time is a huge indicator of success for students. Absolutely.
We have a call on the line. Let's go to David in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about remedial education with Kirk Gibson, Scott Beveridge, and Brian Shoemate. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get some responses about what I consider the overuse of technology in the lower grades. I've been working with some schools in Medford, and I know they just spent like $250,000 on iPads for kindergartners. And sometimes when I go into those classrooms, I see, you know, instead of the teacher drawing the letter A on the board, this fancy letter A bouncing across their new smart board. And instead of kids using, you know, crayons and scissors and glue, I see them drawing on iPads. And, you know, I think that it's really good for kids to get technology, but if they don't have basic hand-eye coordination, if they can't do simple movements and kinesthetic things and the social parts of kindergarten, this overemphasis on early reading and on remediating kids, I think personally is actually damaging early childhood education.
All right. Thanks for letting us know about that, David. Appreciate it. We did talk to the Eagle Point District a few months ago about the iPads in kindergarten. Here's a chance for Brian Shoemate to talk about it because he did mention the Medford District specifically.
Yeah, there's, you know, the district invested heavily in technology across the board. And, you know, students still are being instructed in, you know, the kind of skills that this gentleman references with hand-eye coordination. And they still write letters and do schoolwork in a traditional way. The issue now is with the new testing system, which is again, very much symbolic of what's going on around the nation, is that technology, that the tests are now taken using these devices. So students are going to be tested in the third grade using computers, and you have to, you know, we have to have an emphasis of getting kids having more access to technology at a younger age, so they do know how to operate, you know, the basic functions of a computer, keyboard skills, etc. Because it's starting in the third grade, they get tested with the Smarter Balance test with technology. So I agree, we don't need, you know, students still need to learn to form letters, numbers, etc. in the traditional fashion. But we also have, you know, it's a double-edged sword. We have to get them exposed to technology at an earlier age, too, which there's only so many minutes in the day. So I understand the concern, and it's something we've grappled with as well.
Now, Kirk Gibson talked about meeting the students at RCC where they are. And so the question, I guess, for you, Scott Beveridge, as we're dealing with technology, is you're obviously meeting students where they are at younger ages with technology now. They're just used to having the stuff around them. But how do you find the right mix of the tactile skills versus the computer skills?
Well, we try to find ways that the computers can enhance instruction and not replace traditional methods. We want to still use the kinesthetic methods for learning, but where technology really is appropriate is when it can increase learning, and we can show that through research. So there are specific strategies for using technology, and some of the curriculum and the way that Medford is delivering the curriculum through the technology would be to enhance student learning, not to replace traditional methods.
Which raises the question then for Rogue Community College, Kirk Gibson, about whether you've had to upgrade technology year by year by year, just as you get waves of people coming in from high schools that have been dealing with technology more and more in their school experience.
The phrase that we live on kind of with our technology is that there are folks who are digital natives, just like I grew up as a native speaker of English. Our young people have grown up as native users of technology. They have always had it. They have always had it in their hand or in their ear or by their side. We as a community college, because our age groups are so varied, also deal with folks who are still learning technology as a second language. So we offer a variety of programs all the way, of course, from very advanced programming, ways to write apps, ways to engage in the robotic manufacturing processes for students. But we also start for folks who need to know what a mouse is and that it's not a rodent you trap, that, you know, the thing that comes out that holds the DVD isn't a good place to put your coffee cup. So we need to be able to recognize a really wide variety of folks who speak technology or folks who just don't yet, and we're there to help you get across that divide if you need to.
The broad topic of our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange is education. We started with a bit of a narrower focus on the fact that a lot of students entering community college, Kirk Gibson is with Rogue Community College, need remedial education. Join us on the Exchange as we discuss the topic further. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Get a gander at our guests on Facebook as well. Do the numbers, Kirk, fluctuate a bit? I mean, is year by year you're going to have subtle differences in approximately how many people need remedial education, or is that a fairly steady thing?
It's a fairly steady thing. We looked at data all the way back to 2004 as we prepared for this interview, and that number of 65 to 70% has been solid since about then. So not a lot of fluctuation, moments of it. I think overall things are improving. Scott referenced, of course, a lot of conversations at the state, and any time that a variety of partners, K-12, ESD, community college, sit down together and work together to discuss what's in the best interest of our students, good things are going to happen. And so I think out of that conversation is coming a more clear definition of what we want students to achieve and at what level, a more clear definition of what it means to be college ready. And I think from that, we will continue to see those numbers shrink.
Brian Schumate wanted to put something in here.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we're working on, we're already in conversation with the ESD and other local districts, superintendents, as well as RCC and SOU. One thing that I'm a believer in is every kid in a pathway. And we've kind of talked about this phrase, I want every kid to have a band experience. So one of the things, meaning that their high school experience is coherent. There's a larger picture here. We have to reinvent high school. One, where there is relevance and students find relevance in their pathways, and then we increase the rigor along the way. One thing that I want to try to accomplish, and this gets back to Scott's conversation about the 40-40-20 and college and career readiness, is that every kid in Medford graduate with what I call a credentialed diploma, where their high school experience, they can get dual credit, articulated credit, or some kind of industry certification while in high school, so that they don't just graduate with a piece of paper that says you've got 24 credits, but your high school experience is already connected to the outside world. And that comes with a lot of partnership conversation. Likewise, as these partnerships get stronger, I want to know, again, as a math person, I'm glad to sit down and talk about this math entry test and what college algebra looks like to make sure we align our curriculum as well. And there's another piece of this puzzle, besides taking a fourth year of math that I referenced earlier, is we need to make the senior year more rigorous. And this, again, is a nationwide phenomena. We have a lot of students who get quite a few credits under their belt in the first 3 years of high school, and then senior year is supposed to be fun.
It's art and fishing and stuff like that.
Well, mm-hmm. And they have to take senior English, which mm-hmm. is a fourth requirement, but the rest of them, if they're in good shape, they can create a schedule that's not as rigorous. And we need for families to understand that we need to keep the pedal down that senior year so they really are ready to go. And that's a cultural shift, really, where we don't let kids off the hook, because really we're doing damage when we do that, and we set them back. That fun senior year can cost them two more years of college.
So that's not on the schools; it's on the students or the families.
Well, no, we allow it too. It's mm-hmm. it's a culture around public education, not just in Medford, not just in Oregon, that a lot of kids are able to work themselves out of a very rigorous senior year if they do well their first 3 years. And we have to say to them, you need to continue with math, science, and higher level elective courses that really are relevant, so that they keep their brain fully engaged for that senior year. And it gets down to seat time. You know, so instead of being only have to take classes a half a day or two-thirds of a day, we want them there a full day. And stay engaged so that they're ready when they go to college.
Brian Schumate is the Medford School Superintendent. We also have Scott Beveridge from Southern Oregon ESD and Kirk Gibson from RCC here. Here's Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hello. I'll go quickly. I'm a teacher. I teach music. I teach piano. I teach an actual instrument that you have to get your brain waves to activate your fingertips and produce a result. And I feel that I've taught for many years, and I've seen a reduction in penmanship, for example, and I think there's a direct connection to a person's heart and soul through handwriting. And if you're doing math through your own hand, and anything that you do through your own hand connects you more to your soul and who you are, and then you express from there. Rather than, I think we're starting to get human machines that are adaptive and integrated with technology, which is a controlled consciousness that perhaps leads to some of the dysfunctional behavior, like shootings, for example,
Let's give time for a response here, Julie. I appreciate the call. Thanks for that. Scott Beveridge, since you're the technology guy, and this is a technology question, let's put that to you.
Well, you know, the Common Core state standards in mathematics actually do call for more writing and more application of knowledge, and so I think that some of the goals she's looking for there might actually exist. Technology is prevalent in society, and so we are using more technology for things, but I'm not sure I see a connection to the violence.
All right, let's come back to the instructional part, Kirk Gibson, because we were just Brian Schumate was talking about the view of taking a fairly easy senior year. Is that one of the issues you're seeing at RCC? Is that as Brian pointed out, you can get into your RCC first math course and haven't been in a math class in 15 months.
I think that gap is something that we've all recognized is problematic, and there are anything we can do to keep students, whether they're 50 or students that are 15, engaged in academic pursuits is a good thing. So summertime is already a built-in gap, and if you throw in a senior year on top of that, systematically we've let a lot of time go by between using the skill that you practiced in math in your class with the teacher that you enjoyed and then using it again in college. So I think closing that gap is important. I think the word engagement is really one of the keys, and you mentioned pathways. And math is one of those things that some people can get into and enjoy on its own as a wonderful standalone exercise in thinking and reasoning. But a lot of people need something to connect it to. And if I want to weld or if I want to build or if I want to do art or music, there's a connection there to numbers that helps people engage in that.
All right, quick question because we're almost out of time. Scott Beveridge, as the parts of the system become more coordinated from K up through the 20th level of education, are people really going to notice big changes, or is it something that's incremental enough to help them along?
Well,
the way?
We're actually making substantial changes right now in our region, and what we know is that high school students that have significant college credit by the time they graduate high school will persist in college. They'll enroll in college and persist, and we're doing tremendous work to actually do that alignment with RCC and our regional school districts.
Great. Scott Beveridge, Kirk Gibson, Brian Schumate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.